Welcome to Who Watches Us, where we watch the movie, but who watches us?
Who watches us?
Who watches us? My name is Chef.
Mm-hmm.
And you are?
I'm Brendan.
And we watched Chef. We watched Chef. That's the movie we watched this week.
We watched Chef, yeah.
We watched Chef, directed, written, and starring Jon Favreau. And yeah, before we jump into the movie, what have you been up to? How's your week been?
It's been good. It's been good. I've been pretty tired. I haven't been sleeping a lot, but it's been a good week. Just been playing some video games when I can.
Oh, very nice. What games?
I've been playing a lot of Trackmania and Factorio.
Classic games that I've also never played, but I know they're classics because I just know these things. I've been playing Bloodborne for the first time. I've been playing a bit of Bloodborne.
Yep.
They just drive me up the fucking wall. Oh my god. It's actually quite hard.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, I've played a couple of Souls games now. I can do this. This is not going to be as hard as a, you know,
it's a bit of a,
make it out to be.
It's just a different mechanic.
It is. It's a lot more. You got to fucking,
you got to be aggressive.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. But I've also had a pretty not sleepful week. Not sleeping a whole bunch.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty standard though, not gonna lie. Slept for 12 hours last night.
So what?
Yeah, that was I guess I just caught up with all that sleep. I just slept for 12 hours. I'm like, what the fuck happened when I woke up? I'm like, what time is it? I was late for work. So I was like, oh my god.
Yeah, I had the like opposite problem where I couldn't sleep at all. Like on Friday, I was awake for 24 hours.
Oh,
and
one of
those
ones.
And I was just not tired at all. Like, oof. I woke up at 12 a.m. and then went to bed at 12 a.m.
Hey, sometimes you just got to do the 24-hour challenge to fix your sleeping schedule.
Yep.
Been there before.
Mm-hmm.
Man. But apart from sleepless nights, we watched this movie.
We did. We watched Chef.
What did you think of Chef?
Yeah, I thought it was okay. Mm-hmm. I think that this movie, my general thoughts about this movie is that, the start of the movie and, how am I phrasing? I would say the first half and the second half of this movie is like, it's sort of different movies. We'll get into it a little bit later, but I wasn't a fan of the first bit of the movie. I thought it was overdone and it took too long to actually like get into anything. A lot of like repeated stuff where I'm like, yeah, okay, I get it. And there was I felt like a lot of the script was improvised as well. I think there was like a loose sort of script going on, but I think the actors were like encouraged to just kind of roll with it and improvise, which sometimes is good if you're going for like a chaotic sort of quirky funny sort of thing. And but
I did definitely feel that too.
Yeah.
I felt like it kind of worked in the movie's favor a little bit. It kind of made it feel a little bit more real to me, at least.
Sometimes. I felt like sometimes that it made sense, and sometimes I felt like the movie was like wasting my time. And it could have been tidied up a little bit.
I get that. No, I definitely agree with that, actually. Feels like some scenes tend to drag on for a little bit too long.
Yep. Mm. Yep, for sure.
Mm. All right. So, should we dive right in, or?
Let's give a quick little spoiler warning, I reckon.
Oh, yeah, definitely a spoiler warning here. You've been warned. We're going to get into some pretty heavy spoiler territory, talking about the major, you know, kind of plot beats of the movie, everything that happens, really.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Yeah, so you've been warned.
Yep. You have been warned.
You've been warned. So the movie opens up. Kitchen. Man flipping lights on, preparing for the day of cooking. We see Mr. Jon Favreau himself, chef, whipping up. He's got some serious chef skills. He did some training for this movie. He's chopping shit. He's fucking putting the burners on. And then it's a big day for them. It's a very big day. You know, he's got his, you know, sous chefs coming in, his right-hand men. They've got this big pig that they're chopping up. And it's all to impress this critic. He's the biggest critic in LA. So they've gone all out. And because of this, he's late to pick up his kid. This is where you find out he's maybe not the best dad. He's not very present.
Mm-hmm.
He's kind of divorced his ex-wife.
Yeah.
Probably because of how much she works.
Yeah. And makes a lot of empty promises to this kid as well.
We'll do this, we'll do that, but it never comes to fruition.
Yeah, you like show up and you're like, oh, I don't think we're going to have time to do the thing that I promised we'd do.
Yeah.
And generally, the kid is pretty cool with it. Because really, this kid just wants to hang out and spend time with his dad because, you know, I think they're recently divorced.
I think it's not too long, you know.
Yeah. And then, like, the kid's pretty switched on. Like, he knows his dad makes a lot of, like, empty promises, and
he's kind of used to it.
He's used to it, and he sort of works his way around it as well. Like, Carl, the main character, he has a tendency to be like, oh, we'll see, I'll ask your mum a bit later. And he's like, oh, no, I already texted her. She says it's cool.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, shit, well, I can't, like, put this off. I guess I have to do this now. So, yeah, the kid knows the tricks. He's seen a lot of this bullshit before.
He's down with it. And I can't remember exactly how it happens, but his wife kind of brings up the idea of a food truck. She's brought it up before, but he's like, I'm not doing a food truck. I'm too good for that, pretty essentially is what he says. But the reason he's picking up his kid, he's going to pick him up for some reason. But then he's got to take him with him to the market. It's like, you're not getting anything. We're just going, I need ingredients for today. You're not getting anything. He's like, I want some kettle corn, while he's picking out ingredients. And then the kid's like, no. He's like, no kettle corn. And then they get kettle corn.
Yeah.
Yep. They get kettle corn. And then they talk about the chef's haters.
Mm-hmm.
And the word hater, how they didn't used to have the term back when chef was a kid. Just a bit of bonding time. They're eating and fucking doing stuff and getting ingredients.
Yeah.
And,
yeah, because Carl, he wants to change up the menu ahead of, like, this critic coming in. He wants to make something, you know, exciting and special. So he's going out shopping to get, the finest ingredients. And, oh, God, it's raining.
Is it raining?
So loud. I'm not sure if you can hear it. But yeah, like he sort of goes out shopping and tries to get like inspiration from the ingredients when he sort of goes out. And I think he touches on that a bit later when he goes shopping again with Percy. It's his kid's name.
Yeah, that's the kid's name. I'd never once wrote his name down. I just got him as kid. I did that for a lot of characters, actually.
But they don't do a great job of teaching you, like, the character's names.
No, they're kind of just, you kind of just learn them as you go.
Yeah, just Carl.
Just Carl. I feel like the movie tries to make you, really tries to force this idea on you that the kid is really smart.
Mm-hmm.
He's super switched on. He's talking about, I don't know, something about, he's just talking about New Orleans.
Yeah, he's talking about like the Louisiana Purchase or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, bit of history.
Yeah, he's just dropping knowledge on his dad. Seems to be a
history buff or something.
Yeah. He's like, I'm not talking about the fucking Louisiana Purchase. I'm talking about fucking food.
Yeah.
You're so switched on. Where's your social cues, man?
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is where we find out that the kid is autistic. No, I'm kidding. Sorry. So yeah, he has to drop off Percy. He drops off Percy. He goes back to the restaurant. He introduced to Scarlett Johansson's character, or Molly. She's like the main waitress. Does like the wine pairing. That's her team and stuff.
Yeah, she does like bartending as well.
Yeah. Yeah, they're like, have you gone over this with the manager? Like, he's super excited about all this, and she's like super happy for him, but she's like, have you gone over this with, you know, the big boy? He's like, oh, I'll talk to him. And then he kind of comes in. This is where you kind of learn these. He really wants to do things his own way. And then old mate comes in. He starts giving him grief about, I don't think we should switch the menu. This is what works, and this is what I think we should roll with.
Hmm.
Yeah, stick to the hits is the quote that he gives him. You know, kind of convinces him not to do it.
Yeah. Yeah, he uses the metaphor, like, if you go see Rolling Stones and... I can't remember the song they actually mentioned.
Yeah. the good song, it can be applied to any band. You know, you go see a band, they don't play the song you want to hear, you'd be like...
Maybe it's Satisfaction or something like that, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But he's like, if they didn't play, like, their hits, would you fucking be pissed off? He's like, yeah, I guess you're right.
Yeah, so he convinces him. And then you kind of get a time jump here to after the fact. They don't really show the service that much.
Mm.
For once, they don't show a cooking montage. A lot of those in this movie.
Oh my god, there's a lot. There's so many.
Yeah.
They cut to, like, a bar or something like that. And they're all like celebrating, and I think he starts to read like the review. Does that happen? Oh no, maybe this is maybe that happens a little bit later, because like after that they have the scene where like there's like this skeleton. The skeleton puppet, like metaphor. Like
a skeleton puppet, and you kind of see Jon Favreau is doing the 1,000-yard stare at the puppet.
Yeah.
Kind of like a metaphor that he maybe feels like a puppet and kind of...
Yeah,
I feel like he's got this illusion, like, he's being of freedom.
Controlled. Yeah.
Yeah, although he's got this kind of illusion of freedom, he's really just doing what he has to do. Not, he can't innovate or do really what he really wants.
Yeah. And I think that's when we go to the bar and they start...
Mm.
Reading the review.
It's kind of like a bait and switch. It starts out really nice. It's just like, oh yeah, the first time I saw this guy, I think it was the critic, was like one of the first people that endorsed him. But then he's like, it just gets real bad real quick. He starts saying that he's fucking fat.
He does look dirty. He's trying to be a bit of a crowd pleaser. He's too safe. He's also put on a lot of weight.
He calls him a fat nerd. He calls him needy. He calls him, he calls him kind of just like desperate for approval.
Yeah.
And this makes me only want to pull away. It's a pretty brutal review, especially the fat nerd part.
Yeah.
And then...
He takes a bit of time to decompress.
He's kind of digesting this info.
Yeah, he goes outside and has a smoke with ScarJo. They're just sort of talking things out. And then I've got in my notes, Favreau writes himself into ScarJo's pants.
Pretty much, yeah.
But I'm not sure what happened. I might have been taking too many notes again, but yeah, like they go back to his place, I guess, and then he just like cooks
again. Yeah, he's just like, let me cook for you. And she's she's just like laying on the bed watching him cook because he lives in a fucking kitchen.
Yeah.
And, for some reason. I don't know how you get a place like that, but he had a place like that.
Yeah. And, like, this is where you get, like, a hint of, like, oh, he gets to express himself. He's cooking freely, and she loves it. Like, it's real good.
This is... Oh, sorry. We'll talk about it later, but... yeah. I've just got cooks for ScarJo, deaths clap the cheeks. That's pretty much all... That's pretty much all that comes from that.
Yeah.
You kind of get this semblance that he kind of only really thinks about himself.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't. He's kind of really concerned with himself and where he's going and what he wants to do, and he doesn't really have a lot of time for the other people in his life that should matter. Yeah. He's kind of a workaholic.
Workaholic. Pretty selfish.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
So... I think after this, he has another scheduled thing with Percy. He's got to like take him to the movies or something. So he goes to pick him up, and this is where we learn where his ex-wife is, Sofia Vergara.
Mm-hmm.
They go to the amusement park on the roller coaster. He's like on his phone. So he's like, even when he's with his son, he's not super present.
Yeah, he's just not present. He's not there.
And then they go see a movie together. But like, you know, when you go see a movie, there's not a lot of interaction with the people that you go with. You're just watching the movie because you can't talk in like a public cinema.
Yeah.
And then there's like a little Iron Man Easter egg, which I didn't notice. You pointed that out.
Yeah, do the little fucking blaster noise. Yeah, that's my blaster noise. Pretty spot on.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, so after that, he's kind of got this new fire. He's kind of got this fire in his belly. There's a cooking montage. It's like one of the first ones.
Yeah, right before this... I think he drops his kid off, and you sort of get the impression that the kid was a little underwhelmed because he just wants to hang out with his dad and learn about cooking and the kitchen, and Carl just doesn't get it. Like, this is like an obligatory task for him. He's got to put in his time with his son so he can go do the things that he actually wants to do, which is cook all night.
God, I don't want to fucking hang out with this kid. I want to go cook. Fucking lame kid. Just sits there and mopes. Anyways, cooking montage. His buddies come in, his chef buddies. He's like, he's cooking all night. He's like, try that. He's really excited about it. And they're like, oh. He's like, is it good? And they're like, oh, it's good. And they're like, he's like, so you're not letting Twitter get you down, eh? He's like, what? What the fuck is Twitter? He's never heard of Twitter before somehow.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, don't worry about it. And then, it's the first guy, Martin. Martin comes in. He's like, oh, yeah, Twitter. He's like, what's Twitter? Whatever. And then the other guy comes in, Tony. Who is the sous chef, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He comes in, he's like, oh, Chef Big Dog. cooking up a storm. He tries the food. It's good. He also mentions Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
And then they just kind of ignore him when he asks what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they're trying to avoid it. They don't want him to know.
Yeah.
And this is the first... and by far not the last time they mentioned Twitter.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure this movie is a Twitter ad.
It must have been funded by Twitter.
I'm sure they've got stakes in the movie. Like, It's ridiculous how much they sort of advertise Twitter in this movie.
And it's also not just Twitter, but we'll get into that later.
Mm.
Yeah, so cut to
there's another
apartment.
Yeah, there's another cooking montage.
Another cooking montage. Carl's whipping up a grilled cheese for his baby boy. And the kid is watching, like, ISIS insurgency videos on his fucking iPad.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, he's like, and Carl asks him about Twitter. He's like, can you help me make one?
Yeah.
Because he wants to see what's going on.
Yeah, he wants to understand Twitter now.
Then he asks his kid if Twitter's for sex.
Yeah. I've got, my note here is Carl's an idiot. Doesn't understand Twitter.
Yeah, he's a total Luddite. He has no idea about anything except cooking.
And then I think Percy, at this point, just drops a bunch of truth bombs on Carl. I think that's all to do with, like, how he doesn't want to just go to the movies with him or go to theme parks. He actually wants to spend time with him. And Carl is just not listening.
Yeah. He's like, yeah, that's great. Yeah. What's going on Twitter?
Yeah. He wants to know about this bloody Twitter thing.
Yeah, he's like, what's Twitter? What's going on? Apparently people are saying bad things about me. Come to find out, his review goes viral for some reason. You know, people really love shitting on this guy.
Yeah.
Because he's Chef Big Dog. There's some crazy 2014 lingo, I think. I think he saw that there was, like, ruffle or stuff in the the tweets. He's getting hated on. Yeah. He's thinking about tweeting stuff. He's like, I should tweet back at this guy, tell him what's up. Yeah, I think Percy's like trying to convince him that that's not a good idea. It's on there forever. He's trying to teach him how Twitter works, but he's not really paying attention.
Yeah.
Anyways, he sends the critic, or at least he thinks he's sending the critic message.
He replies to a tweet thinking it's a DM. Basically saying, you wouldn't know a good meal if it sat on your face or something like that.
Yeah, I think that's verbatim what he said.
Oh, okay. That's not in my notes. Then he just sort of puts the phone down, goes to bed, and then there's like a zoom in on the laptop and you see all like the notifications going crazy. It's like, oh my God, it's blowing up.
Also, there's like a TF2 photo on the iPad, whatever. Yeah. Just a little TF2 internet lols.
Yeah. So
TF2.
I think we cut to the morning, and Percy's getting up. He goes straight for the iPad, and then he's like, "Whoa." iPad, baby. I think there's also another cooking montage here.
Is there another cooking montage in between?
Yeah, I think there's another one here.
Oh, there's a lot of those. Yeah, sometimes you don't even bother.
He's like, "Whoa, Twitter is blowing up. What happened? Did you blah blah blah?
Did you say something?" Yeah, he's got a lot of followers. He's got like 1,000 followers overnight, which is like,
yeah,
I guess it's not that crazy. He's just essentially a celebrity chef. He's pretty well known, I think.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's like, no, I didn't say anything.
I just replied to him.
Yeah, I just sent this guy a message. He's like, no, you didn't. Everyone can see this, what you said. But the critic wrote back to him. It was pretty mean. It was another mean, pretty brutal response.
Yeah.
He's like, I think I would rather have you fucking sit on my face after a brisk walk than eat the fucking chocolate lava cake again or something.
Yeah.
Which honestly I kind of found funny. I thought that was a little bit funny. I would rather have you sweat hottie sweat bowls? Sweaty hot bowls in my mouth than have that fucking lava cake. Which is kind of sus.
He really doesn't like the lava cake.
No, he doesn't. I think he just doesn't like lava cake.
Yeah. So he's like, uh-oh, this isn't good. And he's like, whatever. I'll take Percy home. He goes to drop off Percy and ex-wife Sophia is there. And it's like, oh, hey, everything okay? You know, what you said online, it's going a bit crazy. It's like getting a lot of attention right now. Do you want to talk to my publicist? To sort of like figure something out. He's like, oh, I don't know. It's fine. Like, I'll figure it out. And I think he, like, I don't know if it happens now, but he, like, I think he claps back on Twitter a little bit later.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, but
I think after Sofia Vergara talks to him, I also forgot her name.
Well, yeah, she. Well, I never learned her name, so I just referred to her as Sophia, like, the entire movie. But she brings up the food truck thing, again, after mentioning the publicist.
Yeah, she's like, I don't want to talk about the food truck. Don't talk to me about the food truck. I'm good. I can do whatever I want. I don't need your fucking food truck.
Yeah.
You leave me alone and let me do what I do.
Yeah, he's clapping back on Twitter. He's got a point to prove. He wants the reviewer to come back to sort of blow him away.
Yeah, so he puts out another tweet. He's like, why don't you come to the restaurant again? I have another menu that's going to blow your socks off, all right? So, because he said some shit like that, obviously he's already viral, the fucking restaurant's packed, and the manager comes in when he's talking to his crew. He's like, you're doing the normal menu tonight, right? He's like, no. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to do a special menu. All these people are here because of me. He's like, no, you're not. You're going to do this menu or you're going to leave.
Yeah.
They have some pretty strong words. Yeah. Actually, that was a pretty good scene.
It was a good scene. Yeah. And he's even gone to the point where he's like, and you're going to apologize to the reviewer as well.
Yeah.
He's like, no way, dude. I'm not fucking apologizing. And
yeah,
basically gives him an ultimatum, like, cook my menu or
get out.
Or do something else.
Yeah, obviously he's like, fuck this.
Yeah, he walks out.
He walks out, and then, you know, everything falls on Tony's shoulders. He's like, come on, Tony, let's go. And Tony just kind of freezes. He's like, Tony is the sous chef, so he assumes command of the kitchen.
Yeah. Yeah, after he's like, oh, come on, Tony. He sees that Tony's been a bit hesitant, so he's like, oh, no, you got this. You take over.
Yeah, he says good luck, and he walks out.
Yeah.
But before he could leave, Martin tries talking to him. He's like, hey, don't do this, whatever. He's like, eh, yeah.
Yeah.
You don't really hear what they're saying.
Not really, no. I think it's more just improvised squabbling. And this is right about the time that the reviewer shows up to the restaurant. Carl leaves, he goes home, and he has another, I'm not kidding, he has another cooking montage. And this one's a long one. This one goes to like 3 to 5 minutes. Like, it's a big one.
Yeah. And you're and sort nothing of cutting... comes of this. Nothing comes of this. I thought he was going to bring this food
in. Yeah, I thought he was going to do that too. I actually had a note that this got me riled up, dude. I wrote down, meals on wheels, he's going to bring the food to the reviewer, because they keep cutting back between he's cooking the food and the reviewer. He's at the restaurant and he's not happy that Carl's not there, and he's going through the same motions because it's the same freaking menu.
You see, he's kind of having a laugh, but he's also kind of pretty frustrated with, you know, this guy's talking all this shit. He's not even here.
Yep. And Carl gets on the phone with ScarJo, and he's like, you keep him there. I'm going to be there soon.
And you really think he's going to bring some food in, which also would kind of flow pretty well into the movie. He's like, yeah, I could just bring my fucking delicious food to people.
Yeah.
You think it could probably spark some, you know, epiphany or idea, which would make sense. But no, he just goes home and cooks an angry meal, because I guess that kind of also makes sense. It's the only way he knows how to do anything.
Yeah, I guess he's unwinding that way. But yeah. it didn't need to be so much. Yeah, it doesn't go anywhere, dude.
Yeah. The kitchen is in chaos and he's just at home cooking a meal.
Yeah. So the reviewer's upset because finally, like, the lava cake comes out. He's like, this fucking lava cake, and he throws his glasses onto the table.
I'm not eating that.
Yeah. And then Carl shows up and he makes a scene. He starts making a scene. He's like, he starts with his like raising his voice.
Yeah.
Yeah. He goes full baby.
He has a fucking baby meltdown. He squishes the fucking chocolate lava cake. He's like, this is a chocolate lava cake. You don't know anything about chocolate lava cake. And fucking, then he grabs another customer's, like a different customer's chocolate lava cake and squishes that.
Yeah, squishes it in his face and he's throwing lava cake all over the place.
He's literally having a baby meltdown where he's squishing things. He's got chocolate all over his hands and face and he's screaming.
Yeah, he gets real high-pitched. This is where it starts to get a bit comical.
It's actually pretty funny.
Yeah. I don't hate it. It's like it's funny once he starts, like, he just keeps getting like more and more high pitched.
There was a nice transition
as well. Like,
yeah,
the camera perspective kind of like zooms out, and it's the video footage of him having his meltdown.
Yeah, it's everywhere.
Mm-hmm. But at this point in the movie, I was not having a great time.
I think we paused right after that, and I'm like, I think I went to go do something. And I'm like,
it wasn't too far from this point.
Yeah.
But my notes here is this movie is slow, the pacing is weird, and Carl sucks.
The pacing is pretty weird. I feel like I was just trying to write like the major plot beats. I feel like so little would happen in between one thing and another thing happening. It was just this one thing would happen for kind of a while, and then another really big thing, I guess, would happen, and that would take a while.
Yep.
It's not really bang, bang, bang. It's kind of bang, bop, 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 bang, bang, bop, bop, bop. Yeah, I don't know. That's the only way I can describe it. My Neanderthal tongue.
Yeah, it's very sort of just disjointed. Like, we spend too much time on stuff that doesn't matter that much, and then some critical plot points. Sort of just like quickly sort of go through.
Yeah.
I actually wrote down the script. Feels very improvised, like, at this point in the movie. Because this is when they're in the bar afterwards. Yeah. Tony Martin, who I had as LeGuiz for a while, for Leguizamo. LeGuiz?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Because I never learned his name. Well, I did later, but at this point, I had never learned his name. So they're all at the bar. And all their dialogue is just going over, like, that was fucking crazy, man. Like, you full on flipped out. And, very, very improvised people talking over the top of each other.
Yeah.
It was okay at times, but, yeah, a little bit of felt like my time was being wasted again.
Yeah. The only main... Yeah, I get what you mean when you say it feels improvised. Like, they're talking, they're kind of hashing things out. Tony, like, apologizes. They're just telling him about how fucking crazy that all was. And then things get a little bit gay between them. Like, they get a little gay. I think they're about to have sex or something.
What?
Not really. They just... They make the joke. They start cuddling him from either side.
Oh, yeah. And they say, let's have a threesome. Yeah. That's true. Yeah. I think this is when ScarJo shows up.
Yeah. He was talking to his mates about, like, I've got plenty of offers. And then as soon as he gets in front of ScarJo, he's like, I've got nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and then he says that he's a meme.
Yeah, ScarJo's like, yeah, you know, it sucks, but you're miserable doing what you're doing right now. Like, yeah,
should just move on.
You got to move on. You should go hang out with your son. Go spend some time with your son. She literally says, go hang out with your son.
Yeah. Yeah, that's in my notes I got. She says, maybe be a better dad, maybe. And then she says she just wants him to be happy. And that's not going to happen while he's, you know, here. Or trying to chase, like, just going through the motions. Going to do the same thing all over again. Like, you needed something different.
Yeah, after this we cut to, he's at the... He goes.
Can I say a gripe?
Sure can.
This feels like it should be, like, if he needs to move on. Like, this movie should be about him moving on. Like, he's reconnecting with his family, I guess. But also, this feels like this weird romance between him and ScarJo that just ends right there. You never see her again. She's not in the movie anymore after this point.
That's exactly right.
Like, she feels like kind of an important character.
Yep.
But she's not, I guess. So, yeah, anyways.
Yeah.
Just need to get that off my chest.
No, I get it. And I'm going to go on a rant very soon. Related. Not, like, super related to this, but pretty related to this. Mm. So, Carl goes to Sophia's house to go see Percy. And Percy's like, oh, no, bro, I'm sleeping.
Yeah, he tells the maid to tell his dad that he's sleeping.
Yeah.
This part was actually pretty funny when the maid goes, he said he is sleeping.
Yeah. Because, like, he was supposed to go to New Orleans Carl was supposed to go to New Orleans with Percy, and he bailed on him. Again, another unfulfilled promise.
Yeah.
But yeah, he goes in and he's chatting to Sophia. I don't actually know what her name is, so she will be Sophia from now on.
Yeah.
And she's like...
Oh, yeah, sorry.
You can go, because I'm going to rant for a while soon.
Okay. So he comes in, he's like, I just want to talk to Percy. I'm going to go talk to him anyways. I don't know, he doesn't really want to talk to me right now, but whatever. She's like, please just talk to me first. I have something I want to say to you. It's like, he really wanted to go to New Orleans with you. He misses you. You don't spend enough time with him. I'm going to go to Miami. I think you should come with me. Help me look after Percy. You can be the nanny because I've got to work. You guys can spend some time together. And then, yeah, he's like, oh, I don't want your charity. I don't have too much pride for that, even though I have no money and I have no goals and I have no direction right now. She's like, just do it. So she does it. So he does it.
So fucking annoying. It's like, I don't want your charity. It's like, no, dude. Like, go spend time with your child.
Yeah.
Just go. Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
And, like, this is where the actual movie starts to happen. Mm. My note here is 51 minutes into this movie. Yeah. It took 51 minutes to get here. That's fucking ridiculous.
Yeah.
We get to the actual movie, like the actual meat and potatoes of this movie. The first part of this movie could have been cut down by so much. Like,
it really could have.
Then I bring back the, like, it should have felt chaotic in the start. Like, he has control of his life. But I feel like it should be like he has less control of his life, and maybe some of these improvised scripts should have been a little bit more like arguing with people in his life.
Yeah,
because he only argues with one person, and that's Dustin Hoffman, the boss man. Mm. Everyone else he gets on with like pretty fine. Like, I feel like he's happy, but he's unhappy. It should be way more chaotic. And it should not have taken 51 minutes to get to the point where they're like, let's go to Miami. Like, act one shouldn't be 51 minutes. It's fucking bullshit, dude.
Yeah, it takes a very long time to get into things.
Yeah.
And I do think the first part of the movie was essential to set this kind of thing up. Like, yeah, you need to have his downfall before you can build him up.
Yeah, it just should have been way, way faster.
It could have been done better, definitely. Yeah. It was, there's a lot of, the thing, I think it was, yeah, what you said, it feels very improvised, just a lot of chit-chat about almost nothing. I think it's supposed to be trying to make the characters more likable and, like, kind of make them seem pretty human. It almost feels like a mockumentary, like it's a documentary about this guy's life, but it's very personal. It's a movie still. But yeah, kind of takes this weird angle that it doesn't, it kind of does a bit of this, bit of that, and sometimes it doesn't work very well.
Yeah. But, you know, he concedes. He's like, fine, I'll go to Miami with my beautiful ex-wife and my kid, and I'll spend the summer with my child after, you know, I quit my job and got nothing going on.
Yeah.
I suppose. And everyone keeps telling me to hang out with my son.
Yeah. Whatever, like, whatever that means.
Fucking annoying.
Yeah. So they go to Miami.
They do.
They're in Miami now.
Yeah.
They're walking up to a desk of like a hotel or something. And they're like, oh yeah, we're going to go see my dad play at this place. He's like, oh, can Percy go? Because, you know, it's a bar. He's like, oh, he's old. He's going to die soon. He wants him to see him play. He's like, all right, take good care of him. He's like, you're coming. He's just like, okay. So they watch him play, and they have like a family bonding moment, kind of, where dad and mum are having dancing time, and then the kid finally dances.
Yeah,
while Abuelo sings.
Yeah, they're all dancing together.
Mm.
I said, Sophia's getting into it. And then I said, Sofia Vergara is gorgeous. She's absolutely gorgeous.
She is. She is.
Like, take your breath away, gorgeous.
She's just built different. That's the kind of an immersion breaker as well. John Favreau is not pulling that.
Yeah, somehow he's pulling Sofia Vergara and Scarlett Johansson.
Yeah, he really wrote himself as a pussy slayer in this movie.
Yeah.
But, yeah, music finishes, they go out to eat. The kid is asleep, they get Cubanos.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the dad of Sofia Vergara, I'm just going to call him Abuelo, because I
called him Papi.
Papi?
Yeah.
Papi Chulo. Also something that gets said a lot in this movie, Martin likes to call everyone Papi Chulo.
Okay.
They're talking about, you know, he tries to wake him up, tries to wake the kid up. He's like, oh, I want him to try a real Cubano. And then Abuelo's like, you're fat.
Yeah, he's like, oh, you put on a few, eh?
Yeah, you put on 20 kilos. Not 20 pounds.
Anybody's saying it all in Spanish. And Sophia's like translating everything for him.
And they get Cubanos. He's like, they're really good. And she's like, yours are better. He's like, maybe I will make a food truck. No, he's like, well, do you think people would enjoy this kind of food back in LA? And she's like, yeah, I think so. He's like, all right, food truck.
Mm-hmm.
So he goes to see
Marvin,
Sofia Vergara's ex-husband.
Yeah.
And he is fucking unhinged. He's actually crazy.
Yep. Yeah, they allude to it like pretty early on. Like he has a desk person. What are they called?
Receptionist,
yeah. And the receptionist is like, oh, do you want to put on these little bippies? Because he's a bit of a freak in there.
No, I don't know if anyone's going to know what bippies are. Like these little, they're like these little sanitary covers for your shoes. So, yeah, little bippies, little surgical bippies or whatever.
Yeah. She's like, oh, this is easier than having to take off your shoes to go in there. He's like, okay. So he puts on the bippies, and he's sliding all over the place. And she's got bippies on too. Like, it's a bit of a reveal.
Yeah, she's wearing bippies over her heels.
Yeah.
Which I also think the heel part of the heel, like the little stick part, is just stabbing through it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's kind of redundant at that point. I guess it's like minimal contact, but still.
Yeah. I did not like this scene at all. This scene sucked so much.
He is such a weirdo in this movie. He just, I don't know.
Yeah, so Marvin is Robert Downey Jr.
He's like, yeah, guess what? I fucked the receptionist.
Yeah.
And just like, oh, she's also pregnant. Oh, but I have no cum because I got my cum tubes tied.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And then, you know, Sean Favreau's like, okay.
Yeah. And then they have like this, they have more of this improvised, like, back and forth. They're talking. And then Marvin's like, I don't even know what we're talking about anymore.
Yeah.
And this is when I yelled out, bro, me too. What the fuck is happening right now?
Yeah. It's just, he was talking really fast and saying a whole lot of nothing.
Yeah.
So much, but so little.
Yeah. And like, I know what is happening, like, in the scene, but I don't know at the same time. The crux of it is that Marvin is hooking up Carl with a food truck. And that's it. Like,
pretty much. And it takes like 5 minutes for him to be like, okay, he's a truck.
Yeah. And you learn that Marvin is also Sophia's ex.
Yeah.
So, like,
we've got like husband.
Yeah. So, you've got like a double X thing going on here. And then Marvin's like, oh, maybe I slept with her after you guys broke up as well. He sort of like sprinkles that in there and throws that in there for like, whatever reason.
Yeah, he's kind of intrigued by that. He's like, you fucked her too? No way. Yeah. I don't know. He doesn't say that.
I got really annoyed again. I said, I'm tired of these rich people problems, because that's what these are, right? Like, this is a rich family. They're flying around the country. They're having rich people problems. And
yeah, I also kind of had an issue with that, where this is, like, obviously he's got no money at the moment. It's supposed to be kind of gross grassroots, but he also just gets, like, almost everything handed to him, kind of. The only thing he really goes out and buys is, like, kitchen equipment.
Yeah, and groceries.
And groceries, I guess.
Like, the food truck, I wrote it was sick, but, like, it's supposed to be this big reveal that it's, like, really shitty, and they have to, like, fix it up.
Yeah, I got in my notes, truck es muy mangled. Muy mal. Truck no good.
Muy mal.
No bueno.
Oh, yeah.
Needs a lot of work. And they start there. They just get to work on it.
Yep. So, Carl has a quick call from Leguizamo, Martin.
Mm-hmm.
This is later in the notes, but I'm going to be annoyed about it now. Did you really have to have two characters? One's named Marvin and one's name is Martin. Like, what the fuck is the logic there? Are you trying to confuse me? Like,
yeah. Yeah, I never picked up on that. This is going to sound really bad, but I thought Martin's name was Jose. I don't know why. I think I may have seen it on the IMDb page. I thought someone was just named Jose.
Wow.
No, there's not a single person here named Jose. Okay.
Yeah, you racist.
I think I'm just racist.
Yeah.
But
anyway.
Sofia Vergara's character is called Inez.
Inez?
Yeah.
Okay. Inez. Nah, she's Sofia.
Yeah.
I don't think they said it once.
I feel like they said it at least once, because it kind of rings a bell now.
I didn't take any notice of it, though.
But
yeah, Martin calls, and he's like, oh, bloody, guess what? I'm a sous chef now, because Tony's like head chef or whatever. And Carl's like, dude, that's sick. I love that for you. And he's like, yeah, it's fucking awesome. And then they start talking a little bit more about the food truck situation. Carl's like, yeah, I got this fucking cool ass food truck and it's fucking sick, dude. And Martin's like, oh, it sounds like you're having a bit of fun over there. And he's like, yep. All right. Catch you later. And as he's getting off the phone, that's when Sophia shows up with Percy to the food truck, and they're like, dude, check out this fucking food truck. It's fucking cool, right? And then Carl's like, did you sleep with Marvin?
She's like, hey, you fuck him?
She's like, why the fuck would you ask me this question right now? What yeah, are you doing?
Your kid is like less than 6 feet away from us.
Yeah. And so, did like, he, she starts answering come the question.
Was it good? Is his dick bigger than mine? Or?
Yeah, it's like, he asked this. And she's like, well, okay, and starts talking about it. And he's like, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. Stop talking. I don't want to hear it.
Yeah, he's just literally talking over the whole time.
Yeah. But you learn, yeah, she was sad, but she didn't go through with it, is the consensus.
Yeah, no penetration, but she did suck him off.
Whoa. Whoa.
Sorry.
Whoa.
Okay, cut that out.
That's Percy's mom, dude.
Sorry.
Yeah, so we have a bit of father-son time in the truck.
She just dumps the kid on him.
Yeah. Well, that's the whole reason he's there, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
To look after Percy. And he tries to get out of that, too. Yeah. She's like, bro, this is why you're here.
Yeah. Yeah, he kind of went. He went to reignite the spark. Because we forgot to mention this earlier. She's like, Miami is where it all started for you. You know, this is where you started getting off your feet and becoming chef.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, he went to reignite the spark. Which really the thing was spend time with your kid, get your shit together.
Yep. Classic Carl.
Classic Carl, only thinking about himself. Yeah. What the fuck? I think I just had a minor stroke. Only thinking about himself.
He's safe. He's safe.
I said all the fun, but of soul. Fuck, where were we? I've had like a small aneurysm.
Oh, man.
We still have a lot of movie to go. Kind of.
So yeah, we're gonna breeze through it.
Yeah. All right.
So we have father son time in the truck. Foe today.
Foe today.
Foe today. Chef is a mechanic too somehow, yeah. But they're doing like a huge cleaning montage.
Yep.
Cleaning nice away. Mix up from the cooking montages.
And the incessant talking.
Mm-hmm. But then Carl treats Percy like a fucking, like staff, like cleaning staff. He's like, pretty do much. This, do that.
Yeah.
Still not getting the whole point of like why they're supposed to be there together.
Eventually there's this a really gross thing and he just refuses to clean it.
Mm-hmm. Percy does,
he's like, yeah. And he's like, I'm not fucking cleaning that. That's gross. And he's like, you better clean that, fucker.
It's like, fuck off, dude, I'm not doing it. And he runs away.
Yeah. And he gets pretty aggressive. He's like,
yeah, he does.
Clean that. You didn't clean that, I'm gonna break your legs. No, he doesn't say that. Anyways.
But yeah, Percy runs away. He's like, fuck this, dude, I'm not cleaning this bullshit.
Yeah. So
Carl cleans it up and then goes over to Percy to sort of like make up with him. It's like, hey, I'm sorry, I was such a piece of shit on the food truck bossing you around. I just, you know, this is what the kitchen's like. I thought you wanted to learn about the kitchen.
But yeah, anyway, dude, I thought you, dude, this is what it takes. You don't know what it takes then.
But yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah. Let's go buy some stuff.
Yeah.
Shopping spree. Shopping montage.
Shopping montage. They're just buying stuff for the truck.
Yep.
I thought he had no money, but he's buying like tens of thousands of dollars worth of equipment.
I don't think at any point he says he doesn't have any money, though. Like, I'm pretty sure he has money.
I thought he didn't have any money.
No, I think he's just like...
He said he maxed out his credit card after the shopping thing.
Yeah.
So everybody, that's how he afforded it. He's buying everything on credit. So after the shopping montage, he buys the kid a knife.
Yeah.
He's like, this is a chef's knife. Take care of this. This is my gift from me to you, because I'm a chef, and if you want to be a chef, you gotta take care of this knife.
Yep. Take or I'm this gonna hate sharp you. Blade, 10-year-old child.
Yeah.
Take care of it.
Take care of it. So they go back to the truck to start putting this stuff in. He's like, Martin said these lovely underpaid immigrants will help us put this stuff in the truck. And then they don't because they, don't understand English, I think.
Either that or they just don't want to. He's like, yeah, can you help me?
Yeah.
And then they're like, nah. And then...
They don't say anything. They just kind of look at him.
Yeah. And then Martin shows up. He's like, hey.
Yeah, he works
can I have a magic. Job?
Oh, yeah. He's like, hey. Yeah, let's work.
Yeah, he's like, you sounded so excited on the phone before. It sounded awesome. I was so jealous. Can I have a job too? He's like, well, I can't pay you. And he's like, that's all good with me.
He's like, I don't need money. I just want to cook good food.
Yeah.
Essentially. And then he works his Latin magic on the immigrants.
Yeah, he's like, oh, come over and lift this thing onto the truck and I'll make you the best sandwich of your life.
Yes. And then cooking montage.
Mm-hmm. We have a nice little cooking montage. But this time, it's our boy Martin. And he's getting down.
Yeah, this is the best cooking montage. Because he's getting real sensual.
He
actually... I've got in my notes, cooking montage, but it's Martin, then he comes.
Oh.
He makes a very sensual noise. He spanks the pork, I think. I don't remember what happened. I was taking notes.
So Carl finally starts to teach Percy some stuff because they go shopping and he's like, oh, these are plantains and this and this is that. And this is what you're supposed to do when you go out shopping for ingredients. You got to sort of play it by ear and you be inspired by the ingredients that you see. And they get back. They're cooking, and he's teaching him how to, like, make the cubanos.
Cubanos.
And everything's gone well for a little bit. They're serving up these sandwiches, and then Percy burns one.
He burns one. But he doesn't seem to really give a single fuck. He's like, so? Let's just like, serve
so
it.
So what? Just serve it.
Yeah. And then he's like, come talk to me. Come talk to me outside.
Yeah.
And then he goes full Gordon Ramsay fucking yelling at him. He takes the cubano apart and slams it on his head and knees him in the face. Like Idiot Sandwich style. And then he says, get out of my fucking kitchen. And then they drive off and leave him there. So then he takes him outside and gives him a stern lecturing. He takes him outside, gives him a stern lecture. He's like, hey, I'm not a good dad. I'm not the best person, but I'm a really good chef and I take this very seriously. So please, you know, when you do this with me, we're giving it 100%. Mm-hmm. He's actually quite nice about it, but he's also very stern. And it's actually a nice lesson for the kids. Like, you need to, whatever you do, you need to care. And if this is what you want to do, you need to give it 100%. No half-assing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think they finish serving. I think after that, they're like, all right, let's make some sandwiches. They kind of finish up for the night. They're sitting there having beers and Cuban cigars and stuff like that. You take over. Because I have a massive hole in my notes.
Okay.
There's a lot of talking here.
I keep trying to like let you... go, because I'll just talk. So they're having a couple of cheeky beers at the end of the night, you know, hard day's work, and Percy grabs one, or I think Martin grabs it for him. It's like, yeah, have a beer.
Yeah.
Percy's like, oh, I'm not allowed to drink beer. Carl's like, oh, just have a sip. It'll be fine. He has a sip, and he fucking hates it. And he's like, yeah, good.
Yeah, good.
It's like, you remember that when someone tries to, you know, press you into drinking beer later on, which, sure, that's one way to do it.
That's one way to do it.
But then I wrote, Jonas would be pissed.
Jonas would be pissed. Are you talking shit about beer, bro?
Yeah.
Fuck.
This is what I learned as well, that his name is Martin. I wrote Martin and Marvin. Really? But yeah, like they start talking about like the upcoming plans, and Martin's like, you go do that, and you know, I got a guy that knows a guy. I'll get this truck.
My cousin painted. Knows a guy.
Yeah.
You go to the hotel with Percy, you know, and I'll go get this taken care of, and we can drive it back.
Mm-hmm.
And the kid's like, can I come? And then he's like, ask your mom. And he's like, I already did. I'm coming.
Yep. They hit the streets.
After they pick up the truck, you see the reveal of El Jefe, the food truck. Cubanos. Yum, yum.
Cubanos. So they, they set up shop on like on a beach, and they're serving up Cubanos. They write down like the menu and the prices, and it's pretty cheap. It's like $4, $7 for a bit of food. Sounds pretty good to me.
Yeah, good prices.
And bloody Percy, he's tweeting away. He's tweeting this, he's tweeting that. Here we go. Bam, bam, sending off tweets. They have animated like Twitter birds, like sort of like flying off and going into the sky as well. And that's when I was like, this movie's definitely sponsored by Twitter. There's no way it isn't.
Yeah.
And then bloody Russell Peters shows up.
Yeah, this part also kind of dragged for me. They make a Tosh.0 reference.
Yeah.
They're like, hey, me and my kid watch you on Tosh.0.
Yeah, he recognizes him as the dude that had the tantrum.
Yeah, he had a fucking baby meltdown.
Yeah.
He's like, can we get a photo from my kid? After he tells him to move, yeah.
Yeah, he's like, you can't sell here.
Yeah, he's like, all right, let's take a photo. And then he's like, all right, let's take another photo. He's like, all right, let's take another photo. He's like, all right, let's take another photo. And then, yeah, that's it.
Yep.
There's nothing else after that scene.
Yeah, like, they hit the road after this. They start, like, the road trip, going to different places around America, serving up some food. I think they're on their way to California, so they're just making some stops at all the different places. I think they're still in Florida at this point, because like they're like, oh, bloody Disneyland, and then I think they actually do end up in New Orleans.
Yeah,
and in the like the road trip sort of montage stuff, there's like a bunch of Vine references.
Yeah, there's a Vine reference, and the kid is like a media genius. Like he is doing all the PR for this place, for the food truck.
Yeah,
and he's getting lots of hits and clicks and really blowing them up.
Yeah, basically like explains what Vine is, how it's like 6-second videos. Yeah, but then he's like, I've also been working on like this little project where I record one second of something, like every day, and then you know you stitch it together after a certain amount of time. You watch the video and it turns out really cool. I'm like, yeah, that sounds fucking dope, dude.
That honestly does sound pretty cool.
Yeah.
So they're driving. They're driving to New Orleans, putting cornstarch on their bowls.
Yep. 10-year-old bowls. They make me imagine that because like they all taking turns putting cornstarch on their bowls. I'm like, great, thank you so much, movie.
Yeah,
I definitely wanted to think about that.
Yeah, it feels good, right? That's what they say. Anyways,
yep.
They get to New Orleans. They have some father son bonding time while old mate gets like stuff ready, does the shopping preps. Yep. So they're having some father-son bonding time. Like, they get these donuts that are like powdered donuts. I forget what they're called. They start with a V, I think.
Yeah, he's basically just showing him all the different, like, cool culinary places across America. Like, oh, you can get some really cool food here. Like, this food's, like, super inspiring. In New Orleans, in Florida, blah, blah, blah. And you feel like Carl's, like, finally starting to get it. Because Percy's like, okay, cool. We went and got the donuts and stuff. What's next? What else do we need to buy today? And he's like, oh, nothing. I just wanted to bloody hang out. Like, you know, this is all I wanted to do. Just get the donuts, get a drink, and just hang out for a little bit. And they have a cute little moment.
Yeah, it's pretty wholesome. This is a nice scene. He's like, yeah, I like New Orleans. He's like, I like New Orleans too.
Yeah.
That's a nice moment. And nice. They come back, and the fucking old mate, what's his name, Martin, is like, where have you been? I've been trying to get a hold of you. And he's like, oh, I was shopping. They really went shopping. I was getting food, but whatever. Yeah. He's like, I need you to come have a look at this. They go around, you know, the corner of the truck, and there's a fucking huge, huge, huge line. Can't overstate how big this line is. It's actually massive. Must go on for at least like a mile or some shit. But anyways, the kid's like, yeah, tweeted our location and geotagged it, and they're having a fucking old man conniption. They're like, what the fuck are you talking about? He's like, yeah, I geotagged it. I tweeted it. They're like, still don't really get it, but they're like, cool.
Yeah. Then there's like graphics of like, he's explaining what he did, and then there's like a CGI screen showing like geotagging, and then clicking on the geotag, and then scrolling through all the screenshots, like the marketing materials and stuff. I'm like,
yeah,
sweet, more Twitter advertising. Yeah. Love great it. Great
advertising. They definitely funded this movie. Now that I really think about it, I'm like, Jesus, this is like this is literally a showcase of a platform.
Yeah, it's all the different features.
Yeah,
but I put down, Percy is a marketing fiend. He's an unstoppable force.
He's an unstoppable force, fucking just making shit happen. Mm-hmm. And then fucking John Favreau, Kyle, he's like, you're my new head of marketing. And for the first time in the movie, he's proud of his son for making him, he just made him basically a fuck ton of money.
Yeah, he's like, oh, this is, my son did this. He did all the Twitter stuff. You see this?
You see while this? He's like
serving up the sandwiches and shit.
Yeah. So yeah, there's like a bunch of cooking. This is like a cooking montage.
Yep.
And then I think
we're getting into my favorite bit now.
They go to Texas. They're on their way to Texas.
Yeah. We got like the
more tweeting.
More tweeting. And we're on the road again.
I know exactly what your favorite part is.
And the music, there's music playing in the background. It's like a little bit of a mystery at first. It's like a brass version of Sexual Healing. I'm like, oh, okay, this is a little bit weird. and then they cut to the food truck, and Carl is like really getting into the song. He knows all the words to Sexual Healing. And Martin's getting into it too. And then it cuts to Percy. He's got like the biggest like deadpan look on his face. Just of like disapproval about like what the fuck is going on.
And it holds that shot for like 6 seconds. It's just on so his good. Face.
So good.
Yeah. And then he's kind of like, I don't know, just does the embarrassed kid thing, like ew, sex.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he likes it at the same time. He's just like, oh, you bloody goofy
you
guy.
You guys are so goofy and funny, you bloody guys.
Yeah, so goofy. I love you.
Oh, daddy. anyways. so they can make it to Texas. They're like, all right, we need to go check this thing out. He's like, I don't think these guys are open. He's like, don't worry. They'll be open for me. And then they go in the back of this barbecue place, American barbecue, real Texas OG style shit. And then this guy's like, what's up, Carl? And then Carl's like, what's good? You got something for me?
Sounds like a drug deal.
Yeah, pretty much. And then he's like, yep, we got this good shit. And then they make food with the good shit. There's big lines because the kid is tweeting, of course. They secure, yeah. They secure the yummy meat and they make yummy sandwiches.
Yeah, it's like Texas all night, like smoked all night barbecue.
Yeah.
They're just like fiending over it. They're like tucking in, having the little slivers and slices. They're like, mm-mm. They're talking about like how they, what they're going to do with it. Like sort of riffing on the recipe. It's like, oh, we could do something like this. We could do like sliders, and even Percy's chipping in with the ideas. So that was really,
I think that was a nice idea. Moment. Was sliders. It's like, we make sliders. It's like, that's a good idea.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's more cooking montage, I think, after that.
There is. Yeah.
Yeah. And then they get a call from Mummy Chula. She's like, let me talk to my son. Oh no, she's talking to the son. Sorry. She's like, well, how are you going? What's going on? I miss you. What's doing? He's like, oh, I'm having fun. I'm good. It's good. She's like, how's your dad? He's like, talk to him. And then, yeah, they're just talking. He's like, bring him home to me. I want to see my son. He's like, ah, we're having fun. I'll bring him back before school starts. And she's like, all right, tell him I love him. He's like, what? And she's like, tell him I love him. He's like, what? And she's like, I love him. Tell him I love you. And he's like, ah, oh, I love you. Or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah, it's so. It was Percy. Percy says, he says, I love you to Sophia.
Mm.
And Carl's trying to pass on the message.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, he says he loves you. He says, I love you. He says, I love you. And she can't hear because it's fucking noisy. And she's like, what? And he's like, I love you.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, I love you too. I mean, him, Percy, that is,
Fuck. They're like, keep cooking, more cooking. And they're sitting on top of the truck, enjoying the live music.
Yeah.
In front of this place.
It's the end of the day. Yeah.
Yeah. This kind of like, this is the end of the trip. They think this is like the last stop, really. And it's like his dad's telling him, he's like, or Chef is telling, what's the kid's name again?
Percy,
yeah. He's like, I've had a really good time with you. And, I feel like I really actually finally got to know you a little bit, and I've had so much fun. You're a really good cook. I'm not just saying that. I genuinely think you're a good cook. Not even for a kid. You're just good. And, you know, this is going to end, right? You know, I'm going to be doing this. I'm going to be super busy. You've got school. So we're both going to be way too busy to hang out. And things are going to have to go back to the way they were before. And the kid's kind of pretty upset about that. Like, getting a bit upset, he's getting a bit teary. He's like, well, I can come work after school, I can come work on weekends. He's like, I just don't think that's gonna happen. He just says no, pretty much. I don't know, he doesn't even say, we'll talk to your mum about it. He's like, it's just not gonna happen, mate.
Yeah,
it's like, I just didn't want to blindside you with this when we get back. Like, I just wanted to let you know now that this probably isn't gonna last, this isn't gonna last forever, so, you know, be ready.
Yeah, I wrote Summertime Sadness.
Yeah.
And then I wrote California for today.
California for today.
So, we home.
They make it back home. They make it to Percy's house, Sophia's house.
And then Percy, I should mention, when they're on the roof and they're like having like their little D&M, Percy's like, oh, my video is finished. I sent it to you. Check it out whenever you're ready. And then again, when they get home, Percy's like, oh, don't forget, like, that video I sent you, I sent it to you again, just in case you forgot.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, yeah, no worries, I'll check it out.
Yeah.
And Carl runs off, he goes inside, and then Sophia throws some sweet smiles, some cheeky little smiles, and a little bit of a cute little wave at Carl. And I'm like, oh, he doesn't deserve this, but... I
guess. He doesn't deserve it like me. I'm treating you so much better, Sophia.
Yeah. Carl gets home. He kind of like decompresses a little bit. He sits down in his like empty little house. It's sort of like a shell of a house. Like, it's not really a home.
It's just a fucking kitchen with a bed in it.
Yeah.
It's literally all it is.
Yeah. And he's like, all right, I'll load up this video. I'll watch this video. Yeah. So, like, he's having his... He opens up the email, and you see, like, he's got the email twice, and loads up the video, and he's watching it. It's super cute, like, because all of, like, the majority of the footage is Percy, like, just, like, filming his dad from, like, different perspectives. Because, you know, he loves his dad. He idolizes his dad. He's having a great time. So, you know, he's watching it back, and he sees all, like, the cute moments that they have together. It's super sweet. It's lovely. I wrote down, if this was my kid, I'd cry my fucking eyes out, dude.
Yeah.
I would be a sobbing baby.
He's a very good kid.
Yeah. But also, like, some of these shots were, like, I don't know who was taking the video.
Yeah, some of them is, like, all three of them, like, Martin, yeah. Carl, and Percy. Like, who is recording this?
Yeah. That took me out of it a little bit. Like,
yeah.
It was very, like, cinematic for Vine.
Yeah. Very I don't know if it was a Vine. I think it was just a video.
I think it's a Vine thing. Like
Vine. Well, Vine's only last 6 seconds.
Yeah, but I think Vine did the thing where, like, you can get, like, the 1 second stitches and then, like, put them together into one long video.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I'm not sure. It could be it. They brought it up when they were talking about Vine. Maybe it's a different app, but... Who knows?
That's probably Vine.
Rest in peace. Placement.
Rest in peace. Nah, good riddance. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, so I've been talking a while. Do you want to take it?
Yeah, I'll take over. So, you know, he's watching this video and he kind of has an epiphany. He calls up his son. He's like, all right, you can come work with me after school. And on the weekends, only after you do all your homework and only if your mum's okay with it. He's like, yeah, sweet, I'll go talk to your mum about it. And then that's pretty much it. He gets kind of emotional, and then you cut to a scene of them. They're in, like, a little food spot place.
Sophia's in the truck too. She's taking the orders.
Yeah, she's doing the reg. Bloody Percy, Martin, and Chef Big Dog, El Jefe, cooking up a storm. They're super busy. And guess who walks up to the food truck?
ScarJo?
You'd think, you know, she'd come back at least once in this movie, but she doesn't. The critic. The critic comes up to the truck. He goes, can I talk to Chef Big Dog? And he say something to him. And then he's like, yeah, okay, whatever. He's like, What do you want to say? What could you possibly have left to say to me? And he's like, yeah, the food is really yummy. He's like, okay. Now, you kind of fucked my whole life up for a bit. He's like, yeah, I'm not going to write about your food. I'm going to endorse you. I'm going to pay for it. Shit. Like, was it a spot for him to put his truck? I think it was.
Yeah. Basically, like, he wants to set him up and endorse him and fund it, give him his own kitchen where he can sort of flourish and be free to put his ideas out there and experiment with food and stuff.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, you got your passion back. This is what I want to see.
Yeah. They work things out because it's like, oh, it was just a simple misunderstanding. Like, he's like, oh, I thought I was replying directly to you. And he's like, well, I thought we were just having, like, cheeky banter, like, between us, just building up the hype.
Yeah. The villain really all along was the manager. He kind of just... Or the boss.
Come on, whatever. Dustin Hoffman.
Dustin Hoffman is just a bloody old fart and he doesn't know what he's doing in this biz.
Yeah.
And then, Martin comes out. Oh, sorry, mm-hmm. You go.
No, you go.
Oh, I was going to say, Martin comes out. He's like, hey, you guys have been talking for a little bit and you didn't fucking kill him. You didn't shoot him. He didn't snap. He didn't knife him. What's going on? He's like, this and that. I don't remember. And then 6 months later, they're at a venue sponsored by El Jefe, or the food is done by the critic. I don't really understand.
Yeah, I think what the place is called El Jefe.
Oh, it was. So yeah, they're moving up in the world, I guess. They got their own restaurant, not just a food truck anymore.
And I feel like it's in Miami as well, because like, they're all dancing and Papi is there.
Papi Chulo.
He's
like a boiler.
He's singing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's singing, having a great time, and Carl's dancing with Sophia.
They're both in
Everyone's
white.
Everyone's there. It's a happy.
Did you say that they got remarried?
No, Carl gets the girl?
Gets the girl? Yeah, it kind of just happens, but I think the implication is that they remarried because they're both wearing white, and they're, you know, it says private event on the outside of their when they go into the thing.
Oh, okay. Yes. Like, so you think it's like a wedding reception or something, right?
I'm pretty like positive that it is. I think that's supposed to be the implication.
I missed that.
And yeah, that's the end. It ends on chef. It just says chef at the end.
Chef.
Whew. Ooh. That. What's the time? What's your time stamp at? That took a while to get through.
It took a little while to get through. It was a 2-hour movie.
It was a 2-hour movie, but man, that took a long time to talk about.
Well, I think the other movies that we've done, they've either been a little bit shorter, or they've been so shit that like a lot of things just happen that don't really matter, so we just skip over it anyway.
Yeah,
and there's no like, there was no action scene at the end of this movie. That's that's just all like, you know, just describing what happened.
There's a lot of talking in this movie, and it's really hard to describe what the fuck is happening when it's all happening through like dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just like, yeah, you know, you see this happen, you see that happen. There's a lot of shit in between, and yeah, it takes a while to get through. Yeah. But, what'd you think?
Yeah, I thought it was okay.
Yeah,
it's like, there are certain parts of this movie that I liked quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
All of the wholesome, like, father-son stuff, I'm like, yeah, this is good. I like this.
Yeah.
I think the movie was, like, it was good enough. But yeah, there was definitely, like, chunks of it where I was just like, come on. Let's wrap this up.
Mm.
We gotta keep going. We gotta chug along.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I definitely get that.
I said what my favorite part was already, the look on Percy's face, the deadpan when they're singing Sexual Healing.
Yeah.
And probably what was my least favorite part? It has to be when I went on my tangent about like the 51-minute thing.
Yeah.
Let me have a think.
Yeah, while you have a think about that, I'll tell you my least favorite part. My kind of least favorite part was ScarJo's whole character. She kind of feels like you could have trimmed that fat just all down. Like, I guess she's like emotional support, but he's also got a buddy that is also, you know, his buddy, and like, her role could have been filled by him.
Tony fell off as well.
Yeah, Tony fell off as well. You never
they
see
fell
him
off
again.
At the same time, so like it very well could have been Tony to fill that space, and there didn't have to be any sort of like romantic interest.
Yeah.
Like other than that.
Yeah. I guess her whole character just felt like he was phoned in so he could have a little bit of sexy time with Scarlett Johansson.
Yeah.
And she just didn't go anywhere. It's like, what's even the point? What's the point of this character?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
I think... Maybe... I don't know if it's a moment. I think it's just like... I don't like the... the first half of this movie.
Yeah. No, I think
I just don't like the first half of the movie. And in general, it was just like how long it was and all like the improvised stuff. And just so many cooking montages. Like,
You're going to be pretty mad at me, but I think one of my favorite parts about this movie is the cooking montages.
They're beautiful.
They're really well done.
Yeah.
There's a lot of them, and they're kind of... I'm not sure if they overstay their welcome. It's a movie about cooking, but there's a lot of them, and it kind of drags out the pacing. Even though it's supposed to be this thing to help break things up, it's... there's just a lot, and you kind of get tired of them a little bit. But they're really well done. Some of them are very vibey. I think maybe it was my favorite. My favorite one, maybe Martine Cooking. That was pretty good.
Maybe it's the montage that happens at the same time as the reviewer is in the restaurant.
Yeah.
And how, like, he cooks up all that food and then just he doesn't use any of it.
Yeah. Honestly, actually, yeah. Maybe I'll change my answer. That was so stupid. Like, he just cooks all of that food for nothing. He doesn't do anything with it. He just comes in and yells at the critic.
And food is so expensive. Like, yeah, to cook that quality of food, like, you can't be broke and do that shit.
No.
And if you can, just tell me where you're getting these fucking...
I mean, he is a chef. He's been a chef for a long time, so he probably has got a few good hookups. But yeah, still, this shit costs a lot of money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, what are you going to rate this?
I think I would rate this movie... I'm kind of teetering between a 6 and a 6.5. I think a 6.5 is fair. I think it's better than an average movie. I think it definitely needs some work. I don't know if I feel comfortable giving it a 7. But yeah, I think it was pretty good. It's kind of like a feel-good movie. You just chuck it on.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's whatever. It's all right. There's one thing you can take away from this movie. It's all right.
Wow, wow, wow.
Wow.
I give this a 6.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. That's why it was a wow.
Yeah.
It's like, wow, we finally didn't agree on a rating. But it's within 0.5, so.
Yeah.
And you said you were tossing and turning between it, so.
Yeah.
That. Ooh, I actually have to do the calculator. Get the average score.
For me, I feel like 6.5 is fair because I actually quite enjoyed this movie. As much shit as I'm talking about it, I think I actually quite enjoyed this movie. Didn't really feel that slow for me, but I can look at it and look at these things that are happening and be like, wow, this is like, why?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, I still enjoyed this movie, even though I think there's a couple things wrong with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's why I gave it a 6.5.
Yep. I mean, yeah, it's completely fair. Yeah. Yeah, I give it a 6. I think this movie, there was too many points in this movie where I was taken out of it. Like, you know, you break that sort of low and immersion in a movie, and I'm gonna, you know, this movie takes itself seriously as well, so that's why I'm a little bit harsher on this, whereas something like The Meg, you know, it knows that it's fucking slop.
Yeah. Just no, absolutely garbage. Stupid. Just a, yeah, just a brain
yeah, that's rot. That's a bloody average score of 6.25.
Needed a calculator for that?
No, but I wanted to double check and not be wrong on the internet.
That's fair. Oh, yeah. So would you recommend this movie?
Yeah, I'd recommend this movie to someone. Just watch it. Like, it'd be fine. It's not gonna knock your socks off, but
yeah. Just you can put an end to the age-old question of, have you seen Chef?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think I'd say this about the same thing. I'd say watch it once. This is my second time watching it. I watched it like fucking probably like 6 years ago.
Ooh.
I watched it with mom. And yeah, I liked it. I liked it then. I still like it now. I feel like I probably picked it apart more now than I did then.
Yeah, a little bit more of a critical eye, and I'm sure you notice a couple of things you don't pick up on the first time around as well.
Yeah, it's a good movie. It's just a feel-good movie. It's nothing sensational. It's not going to knock your socks off, like you said, but I feel like it's worth a watch.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, well, well. Looks like we're at the end of the episode.
Well, how should people enjoy this movie?
Oh, I don't know. Just whatever.
I tell you bloody what. Don't go in hungry.
Oh, that's true.
Maybe make sure
their food in this looks tantalizing. It's really good. When I tell you the shots of the food, like the cookie montages are good. They're really good. It looks so appetizing. Shit looks so good.
Real good. Yeah.
Yeah. They got some real chefs to like train Jon Favreau to look like he knows what he's doing. And I think he did. I think he did just like keep cooking after this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wouldn't surprise me. Yeah. I'm sure he was having a blast though. Like, you know, if you write a movie for yourself, he's like, hey, I'm just going to cook and eat great food and be a romantic, like love interest with beautiful women. Like, he's got life figured out.
Yeah. You know what? Who would have been a better fit for this role? Adam Sandler. This is an Adam Sandler movie without Adam Sandler.
Yeah. That's so true.
That's like the best way to categorize this. This is an Adam Sandler movie, but no Adam Sandler.
Yeah, this is like the slightly less good cooking version of Click.
Alrighty. Yeah, don't go in hungry.
Mm-hmm.
Watch it with a mate. Watch it by yourself.
Maybe go in with a meal. Go in with a nice meal.
Cook yourself a nice meal with a glass of wine. Some nice duck with a little bit of garlic confit and like some blanched asparagus on the side.
Ooh, yeah. What are you talking about?
I'm talking about some good food, man. Maybe a little bit of
Alex Law. This guy's been eating risotto.
Fuck off. Risotto is good.
10 years old.
Risotto is yummy. There's no age limit on risotto. It's fucking good.
Most people don't go for risotto, though.
It's yum.
Risotto is great.
Risotto is just like pasta rice.
Yeah, it's great. It's so filling. It's not a 10-year-old meal, though.
Yeah. What is a 10-year-old meal? Maybe I don't know,
nuggets and chippies.
I think society needs to reconsider on what a 10-year-old meal is.
Maybe
a
Parma or a Burgie.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, Parma's good. Parma's yummy.
Maybe a slice of pizza.
Yum, yum, yum. Is that so shocking that a 10-year-old would order a risotto?
Yes. Yes, it is.
Oh. It's good. Tell me. Hey, any kids ever listen to this? Get outside your comfort zone. Order something you wouldn't normally order.
Yeah. What? Go watch Chef.
Go watch Chef.
Watch Chef and eat a risotto at the same time.
Exactly.
There's
your recommendation. Eat a risotto and watch Chef with a nice glass of wine, even if you're 10.
Or get a beer, like.
Oh yeah, get the Mexican beers, like what are they, Cuban? I don't know. Cerveza, I don't know.
Cubanos.
So, mate, what are we gonna watch next?
All right. Next week we are watching I Am Mother.
What the fuck is that? I Am
I
Mother?
I have no idea.
You have no idea?
Yeah.
Can I look it up?
I've got no idea. You can look it up if you want to. I
just want to see what genre it is.
I don't know. It's
Okay.
It might be like a horror or something. I'm not sure.
I think it's like a sci-fi thriller.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know anything about it.
Oh, it's Australian.
Oh, cool. I just hit, because I have a script that pulls from like my list of movies that are on my watch list. Mm-hmm. I just pushed a button and I Am Mother came out the end.
Okay. So does that mean you've seen it before?
I've never seen it.
Okay. It just came
Watch out list is the movies that I want to see.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for listening. Next week, we'll be watching I Am Mother. So tune in for that if you want.
Mm-hmm.
And
I think it's going to be a special episode as well.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. Oh, it is. Is this? Yeah, that's episode 5.
Yeah. Ooh. We're going to have our first guest on the show.
Ooh. Oh, yeah.
Oh, guest episode. Yeah.
So get ready for that. Bloody. Oh, yeah.
Hell yeah.
Okay.
Cool. Thanks for listening to Who Watches Us. We've
been watching Chef and you've been maybe watching us.
Yep. Follow Alex on Twitch at Schmerbius_Gwomp.
I haven't streamed in a while. I'm going to have to start streaming again. Maybe I'll stream myself playing Bloodborne.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
I have to piss so fucking bad.
That's typical.
I had to piss like 40 minutes in.
Alrighty. Alex isn't here. He's getting a bloody Pepsi. But he's going to hear this in the recording. And that's fine. This is just a little message to Alex right now. Hey. What do you think of that? It's all you. Hang on. I hear you coming back. Shh, be quiet.